All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Friday. That means an F yeah Friday on The Usual Suspects. We're all present and accounted for, ready to go, and get you ready for your weekend. Hopefully, you as suspects are ready to go, too. Nick's here, Barry's here, I'm here. Fellas, what's going on?
What up, what up?
What it do? What's going on, guys?
All good in the neighborhood as we F yeah it. Barry, right. you did your due diligence?
What do you mean?
Comedian of the week?
Yes,
yeah,
Ed Blake.
Yeah,
Ed Blake.
It changed a couple times. I'll be honest with you. I was going to try to feature Ken Boyd, who is a local Houston comedian doing some cool things nationally. But all of Ken's jokes, he's a very physical comedian, and it's harder to feature a physical comedian when part of the punchline involves an act out. So I was like, well, damn, I can't find anything on the fly. Because I was, it's not like I waited to the last minute, but I waited to the last minute.
Because you never do that.
So, and then I was going to go and use Tim Mathis, and I couldn't find. So we're featuring today my buddy Ed Blake. Ed's no longer with us. He passed away. But Ed was my mentor, one of my mentors, and a good friend of mine. And so we'll feature him today.
Cool.
Just because I looked and I hadn't seen us featuring him before. So I thought this would be a good time to do it.
Well, there you go. So we'll have clips of Ed Blake at 1:15, 2:15, 3:15. For obvious reasons, we won't be giving out a Twitter account, but no, we will.
He's not very active on Twitter from heaven.
But yeah, but we will.
And I'm assuming heaven.
Okay. We'll get you some information there. But lots to get to today. Our friend Sarah Barshop at some point is
going
to join
us at 3:30. That is right.
Talk some Texans getting ready for New Orleans and the Saints and all that.
I almost had to fight two people at Chick-fil-A today. One was a woman and one was a man in a wheelchair.
Oh, boy.
I'm not proud of this, but it was for various reasons.
If you got into a fight with them, would it be considered physical comedy?
I mean, I would. First of all, I wouldn't fight a lady.
Good.
And
you hit her. What would it take? If she took your nuggets, would you hit her?
No, not over my nuggets.
No?
There's a point where, and we discovered, by the way, and since you brought it up, we did find a threshold for you where you would probably punch a woman.
I don't know that I'd punch her, but I'd damn well tackle her. I can tell you that.
What was it? Well, I forget what we were talking
someone,
about.
But you were someone tweeted us, and I think it was P. Randizzle, but they tweeted us where a parent was walking their child down the sidewalk,
yes.
And a woman randomly came up and slashed the child's face.
Stabbed him.
Stabbed him with a knife. I'm like, at that point, all bets are
off. You wouldn't have punched that woman?
I would have tackled
her. I'd have
tackled her and subdued her to make sure that the authorities got her.
No, Joseph. If a woman stabs your baby in the face, you beat her ass. Period.
I just was raised to never lay hands on a woman, but
if
I definitely would tackle her.
Stabs your baby?
Why are you
I'm giving you
at
a
me?
Pass because I'm passionate about this. You can't have somebody stabbing your baby and then you'd be like, hey, you're lucky you're
I
a
said
lady.
All bets are off. I don't know what I would do, but Nick, I damn well know she ain't getting away.
We all know the three of us would never strike a woman on this show. It would have to be extenuating circumstances. If someone stabbed your baby and it was a woman, would you beat that lady's ass?
I mean, I am a little scared of knives. You know what I'm saying?
What?
God. I even said,
I mean, the person's got a knife, bro. I'm not Matrix.
What?
If she cut me or stabbed me in the process of me bringing her down, that would just add things.
Look, I don't have that instinct because I'm not a parent yet.
I can't believe you guys. It's like I don't even know
y'all
anymore.
Is the knife on the floor?
No, she's holding it because she's about to stab the other baby that's with her husband.
But Nick, think about this. She's running away. So at least you have the opportunity to take her
down. Push that lady into traffic is what I would have done.
Well, she ran into her herself.
Well, but there was no cars coming. I would have pushed her in front of a moving car. I'm telling you, man, you stabbed my baby in the face. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. You're getting punched.
No, period. I don't mind punching that particular woman in the face. I'm just scared of the knife.
I like it. But don't be scared of the knife. I mean, your baby just got stabbed and they're still good. You can take it.
Yeah,
Your baby got stabbed in the face, bro.
Cut that wrong artery, though. You bleed to death.
Why? You're being very cautious.
Yeah. That's Nick, a knife.
Oh, cautious
Nick,
Cal over
here. You're putting
more
thought into this than most times when we ask you questions like this.
He's like, whoa, 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 whoa. There's a knife? I'm going to be like, sorry, baby.
That cut will heal.
I'm sorry you got got. Yeah, I'm sorry you got got. Let this be a lesson to you. Always be prison aware. You never know where the shank is coming from and when. Like,
yeah, I mean.
I forgot about that, but yeah, you're right. I would definitely. So today.
So if a lady takes your nuggets, you ain't stabbing her.
No, here's what happened today, and it wasn't as bad as I made it out to be, but I went in to get my food, and I always have to food prep it while I'm there. I have to do the old Cody Stutes.
Oh,
I got to take the.
You got to mix your sauces.
So I get two things of nuggets. I get grilled nuggets. I get a 12 and an 8 count. All right.
That's 20.
That's, yes. Good job.
Thank you very much.
I see. We're going to start. Stop doing this
with
Nick.
Coming through.
So, and then what I do is I get the barbecue sauce. I put two in the 12 and one in the 8. And then that way I can mix it up and eat it while I drive. So I had to stand there at the little thing. And there's like this little, I don't know, near the to-go area, they have all the condiments and everything. And there's this little trash can, but it specifically says condiments only. So this guy and his two kids come by, and the guy's in a wheelchair and his two kids are, but then they start like reaching over my food and throw like just regular trash into this little thing on the, that's says condiments only. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, man. And then the kid touches my food.
Oh, we know that's
just, and I was like, yo, hey man,
pretty much illegal.
And he looked at me and he goes, what? I was like, bro, you just touched my food, man. You can't do that. And he was like, oh. And he didn't say, I'm sorry. He goes, oh. And that was it. I was like, oh, you little punk ass kid. Oh, no. And his dad looked at me and I looked at him. They didn't say nothing. They just went outside. And I was so mad. So I just took that and threw it away. I was like, okay, I don't have time. I'm going to be late, right? So I threw it away. So I walk outside with him. Well, now the tables have turned because this guy in the wheelchair with his two kids is trying to get across the parking lot to where they parked. But this lady is blocking the walkway where the ramp is. So now this dude can't get down the wheelchair ramp to get across the parking lot. So I'm looking at the lady. I'm like, yo, what are you doing? And she's looking at me. I was like, I tapped on her hood. I was like, back it up. And she just stared at me. I was like, yo, back it up, lady. Like, I was pissed. How are you going to sit there? You see this man in a wheelchair.
Right.
With his two kids waiting on you to get the bleep out of the way. She did nothing. There was no cars behind her. She could have easily backed up and let this man. She just sat there. So I walked over and up on her glass. And she looked at me. She rolled down her window. I was like, yo, I know you can see. Why don't you back this car up and let this man cross? Oh, I was like, don't act like you didn't see that lady. She rolled up the window and backed up. I was like, bitch. That's disrespectful.
Hey, man, you got
to. So I went from wanting to fight this dude's kid to wanting to fight this lady that wouldn't let this dude and his kids. It was a mess. I was just like, oh.
So essentially, you went back to school days. You were a crossing guard and a cafeteria waiter after all of this.
I was just like, why is my life so stressful with this Chick-fil-A? And then I had that, you know, like, what was it, earlier in the week when the dude parked in the handicap?
Yeah, yeah.
It's too stressful for me.
I had the same thing this morning with but I had one where it's really weird. At our Starbucks, the drive-through line, they put cones out. So when you come into the actual driveway to Starbucks, mm-hmm. right in the middle, there are cones. And it basically prevents you from going in the drive-through line. You got to go around the building to get in the drive-through line. So there are idiots that decide that they're just going to cut. And then they block traffic for the whole thing. So I look at this lady, and she's trying to cut in from the left, and she's blocking all traffic both ways, and no one's saying anything. So I eventually just roll right up to her, park right next to her, roll down my window, and go, you do realize you're blocking everybody. And she does the whole, oh, I'm on the phone. I don't care. They'll wait. She goes, what are you talking about? I go, you can put them on hold, you can put your phone down, or you can just listen to me. There are 16 cars all at your, just waiting at your disposal because you decided to hold a teleconference in the middle of the parking lot. She goes, it's not a teleconference. I go, I don't care who it is. Move. And she finally was like, and she pulls up and like half blocks and pulls up by the dumpster. I was like, lady, as long as people can get by, I'm going to leave it. But I got my daughter in the back and I got a dog. I'm just not dealing with this today.
You wanted to fight her, didn't you?
No, I don't want to fight women.
Oh, well, I'm trying.
I got someone on Twitter that thinks that Nick and I are pansies because we didn't flat out say that we'd hit a woman.
Yep.
You have your own issues.
April Robertson is a female, and she said that, saying this as a woman, if they stab your baby, beat that ass. Thank you, April. And yeah, no Cap 86 called y'all pansies.
The reality is, look, I really would. Like, if I felt like there was a window of opportunity, I totally would punch the lady in the face. But 90% of the women that are saying, or men that are saying that they would do something in that situation, go take a look at that video.
Yeah.
And they all reacted in a particular way. Oh, wait, I'm going to go beat that lady's ass. Wait a second. She has a knife.
Mm-hmm.
Reality sets in when you're in that situation. Yeah, I'd like to see each and every single one of you react the same way.
Exactly. And that's why I was clear in my response. Once you stab my child, and the video is also not clear. At the time I first saw the video, I thought that she just slapped the child in the face.
Mm.
But then when people said, no, she actually had a knife, she stabbed. And I said, well, at that point, all bets are off. So I didn't say what I would or wouldn't do, but I said, I'd make damn well sure she ain't getting away. And I said, and I'd take a stab or a cut in the process of doing that without question.
I'd have straight up tackled that lady straight in traffic. I'm not even
That's
lie.
What I'm saying. So when I saw that she was in traffic.
Tate office linebacker'd her.
That's right. That's what I'm thinking. My whole mindset was, first of all, she ain't getting away. I'm tackling her into traffic. I'm taking her down. And then at that point, once I got
Beat
her on the ground,
ass.
All bets are off.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, she was kind of a big woman.
You ain't trying to date her, Nick. You're trying to take
that
her down and subdue her.
Big ass woman. And I'm just going to say, I'm not the best at takedowns.
See?
She probably has a $150 on me. Don't even lie. You're listening here laughing like I'm the a-hole.
No, I think you're right.
She has 150 pounds on my ass. Seriously.
I think you're probably right.
You picked that up, bro.
I think you are probably
and
right.
And she had a mustache. So we don't even know.
I will say this, too.
That's so funny.
Based on that, I taught Taylor what a tackle was last night. I was
nice.
Very proud of myself.
Nice.
I don't think Lisa was happy, but
no.
I told her and taught her not only what it was, but I showed her how to do it.
Nice.
Yeah. So we're making progress,
I
boys.
Dig it, man. Yeah. Hey, you know what? You'll dig Get Upside. I know you're going to dig it. You're going to love Get Upside if you're not using it already. If you haven't downloaded it already, go do yourself a favor. Download it right now. My guy Chris Cruz sent me a picture of his Get Upside app, and he loves it. He's like, dude, I just collected my first $100, sent it straight to PayPal with no problems. The app is legit. Be like Chris Cruz. Go get your $100. If you haven't downloaded Get Upside yet, do it right now. Put it on your phone completely free, no catch, no gimmicks. And you're gonna put in my promo code Barry too. Let's get that out of the way. BARRY. Make sure you do that. You're gonna get a bump on your first fill up through the app. And then once you do that, you can get up to 25 cents a gallon every time you fill up. And it's not like, oh, you only get one deal one time and then you have to wait. No, this is every time you fill up. So you can fill up your car. You can fill up your wife's car. You can fill up whatever cars, fill up the whole family if you need to. That's fine. And same thing for food. If you get lunch and dinner and you use the Get Upside app, you can get up to 35% cash back each time. Not just once, but each time you use the app, because these businesses want your business. That's why they're partnering up with Get Upside and offering these amazing cash back deals. So take advantage of it. Don't forget that promo code Barry. I want you to get that extra bump when you do it. And guys, listen, again, I tell you, there's no catch, and there's not. That's the beauty of Get Upside. If you don't use it, you don't have to use it. If you don't like it, don't use it. I promise you, if you love money, you're going to love Get Upside. So go download it right now. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back. And like Chris Cruz, send me those screenshots and thank me later.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I love living in Houston, man, because this is such a melting pot. I mean, it's good and it's bad sometimes, I guess. But I don't know, I love it. You can meet somebody from any village on the planet here. You meet them right off the boat, right off the plane, right out of the water, wherever they got here, I don't know. And they don't speak English, God bless them. And where do we meet these people? Work in the drive-thru. Come on, people, be honest. I know it's not just me. You pull up, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you hear, welcome to Louisville. I know it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm drunk, but what?
Hey, that's our comedian of the week. Barry gave you the backstory on Ed Blake. We're going to have clips from him at 2:15 and 3:15 as well. Funny dude mentions the fact that Houston is his place, or was.
Was.
And
rest in peace to my guy Ed Blake, man. I wouldn't have made the strides I made in comedy without Ed.
Is that right?
It's 100% true. Ed was a mentor to me. Took me on my first road gig. But really made me, kind of held me accountable to myself. When I would write a joke, I would be so excited about this new joke, and I would go to the workshop at the joke joint, or I would do the open mic, and I would get off stage, and I'd be so proud of this joke. And Ed would be like, I mean, it was okay, but is that the first punchline you thought of? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, go write 10 more. That joke could be funnier. And so he kind of made me, instilled some work ethic in me and made me, you know, learn the craft of comedy a lot better. And just, he didn't sugarcoat things. He was honest with you. If it was funny, he told you. If it wasn't, he told you. And that's so important.
Everybody needs someone like that in their life.
Yeah.
Let alone their career.
Yeah.
Because I had the same thing. Steve Snapper Jones, who everybody knew with Bill Walton and Bob Costas, did the NBA on NBC, and he did the Olympics. He did all these things. When I was an intern in Portland, he was the Blazers announcer as well. And he gave me crap from day one. And he busted my chops. And he came at me hard. And there were times that I was really ticked off. But when I look back at it, I realized he set me up for what... So yeah. I think that's amazing that everybody has someone
it
like
really
that.
Is. You've got to have someone that can that is honest with you, that tells you the truth. Because a lot of times, as comedians, I know for sure, war, if someone doesn't have a good set or whatever, you get off stage, you're like, hey, man, good set.
Yeah.
And I swore I wouldn't do that. And I do. I still feel bad. I don't want to be like, yo, that was awful.
Right.
Or, but Ed was like that. If I didn't have a good set or if it wasn't a good joke or something, Ed would tell me and he would keep me honest. And he was, because he knew that lying to me wasn't going to help me, man. And it made me so much better. And he was mean. I mean, Ed was a mean dude.
Now, let me ask you this. But when you started to succeed, or as you, after you kind of got established a little bit, did he show you the supportive side too?
He passed before I really took that big leap forward. Okay. And I still have a long ways to go in comedy. I really do. But I was just transitioning from hosting to featuring when he passed. And so that was really a big step for me. So he didn't really get to see it too much. But I know he did see me improve significantly and being ready for that. So he got to see a little bit of that, but not kind of where I am now.
Because I think that's what I experienced with Steve was when I left Portland, came here, and I thought, you know, we would just be distant friends.
Yeah.
And he was keeping tabs on me. And it was still, like you said, instead of, hey, it's okay, man. No, you need to do this better. You need to focus on this. What are you doing when you're not doing that? But then later in life, Steve just passed away recently, and he was here in Houston getting medical treatment, and he and I were still talking all the time. And that's when that's when he said, kid, I'm really proud of you. He's like, the things you've done and to be where you were came from, to get here to do this. And I was like, whoa, that's not what I was expecting from a guy that I was always had a foot in my rear end.
Yeah.
And that kind of made me step back too and go, wow, I didn't realize
how much he cared.
How much he really put into this because of how much, you know, our relationship meant as friends. So it was very cool to me.
Yeah.
And it's also like, I'm sure when you hear those clips, you get a little sentimental too, because you think about that, and then you think about, man, he's
hearing his voice. I hadn't heard his voice in a long time. That I'm not gonna lie, when I that hit home a little bit.
So that's what I'm saying. Because
yeah,
the other night I was on the treadmill, and I was just sitting to see what was on, and I was flipping channels, and they were redoing the dunk contest in Chicago between Dominique and Jordan. Mm. And all of a sudden, Snapper's voice comes on talking about previewing the finals and everything, and I got a chill. I just stopped, and I was like, oh my God, I hadn't heard his voice in so long. And it does. It makes you, but it makes you appreciate it because you know what? You had someone in your life that kind of got you on the right path and kicked you in the ass.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting it to hit me in the feels like it did when I first heard his voice. I'm not going to lie. I picked Ed. I love Ed. Ed means the world to me. I even, like, if I have a joke, like I do a joke where I talk to a buddy And I use his name just so I keep that name out there. When I'm on stage, he's on stage. So
how long ago did he pass?
It's been, gosh, almost 2 years.
Oh, it's been more than that because I think the last thing that he published was like in 15.
Well, he wasn't that active on his YouTube like he should have been. Like,
he had a Twitter account.
Yeah, I had just redone his website too. So he was trying to keep up with it, but he didn't do a very good job. But I want to say it was, I know it was in, was it January when he passed? I have it on my calendar, but I want to say it was, this will be this January. Yeah, he passed in 2017.
Wow.
On January 6th. So, yeah, this year was 2 years on January.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's the harsh reality sometimes in life when you have someone that is a mentor to you and then all of a sudden they're no longer there and then you had all these questions you wish you still would have been able to ask and conversations you wish you'd been able to have. So,
yep.
Speaking of conversations that people have had, breaking news that is going to affect a lot of you with fantasy football teams as well as anybody that watches the NFL. Now the Raiders are announcing that Antonio Brown is going to play Monday night against the Broncos. Supposedly, he has had an emotional apology with either the team and or Mike Mayock. And regardless, he will play against the Broncos Monday night. Your thoughts?
This dude is bipolar. He probably needs to be medicated. And if I'm the Raiders, I accept his apology, but this is it. Any other issues come up this year, any other issues, you're gone. Now, keep in mind, he's probably only doing this to get paid, because if he doesn't step foot on that field and they just outright tell him to hit the bricks, all that money goes away. I want to say it was like 30 mil or something like that.
31.25 or something like
that. Crapping away just to prove a point over a $54,000 fine or something like that, whatever the fine was. You're not walking away from that money. So he did the smart thing. I'm sure his agents and his managers and his people were in his ear going, look, man, swallow your pride, go in there, say you're sorry, make it believable. And then once you're guaranteed the money, then you could go back to acting a fool. So mark my words, fellas. Now that he's going to play and now that contract and his money is going to be guaranteed and all that, we're going to see more shenanigans from Antonio Brown this year. Promise you
once
that.
He gets the money in his pocket. Because here's the thing I don't like. Well, this is the other thing I don't like.
Because they can't cut him now because it's guaranteed once he plays.
I agree what you've said. But the other thing that I don't like is yesterday when Gruden had the chance to say, look, he's got to do the right thing too. As much as he loves Antonio Brown because he knows he needs him on the field for his team to have a better chance to win games, Mike Mayock is his guy. They are in the organizational management side. If Mayock made a decision and or had to endure whatever Antonio Brown was bringing towards him yesterday, Gruden had an obligation as part of that organization to support Mike Mayock. Not to sit there and hem and haw and play middle of the road. I'm going to sit on the fence. I love Antonio Brown. You know I want him on the field, but no ifs, ands, or buts. After all of this crap that he has pulled, you say, you know what, enough is enough. You say what Mayock said a couple weeks ago. You're either all in or you're all out. And based on his actions, Mike did the right thing. I'm with him 100%. As much as we want him on the football field, we know what kind of player he is. He's got to be the same kind of person we expect as a Raider. And Gruden didn't do that, and I don't like it. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would have taken every opportunity. In fact, I mean, if these guys were smart, they could see that the writing's on the wall. He's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
He is literally, that apology was strictly about money. He's not sorry. Promise you that.
And the fact that it's funny that he is his own spokesperson for everything when he's stirring it up. But Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, is the guy that's making all of the speeches and things like that when things have to be met, the fences have to be mended.
Yeah, we've got some audio from that. We can play it coming back on the other side. But, man, according to the reports, though, I mean, he made this apology with team captains to Mayock, like crying, like emotional. So
he'd be a damn good actor. You'd cry, too, if you knew you were about to lose 30 mil.
Well, yeah.
And the fact that that might lead more to the fact that he's not just an emotional guy. He might have some other things going on, as we even referenced yesterday.
Possible.
So, all right, before we get to any of that and the audio that Nick's got coming back from the break, I do want to tell you about the Houstonian. Look, a lot of you guys want to take a staycation. You just can't get out of town because you got too much going on. Well, if you want a staycation and never have to leave Houston, but it feels like you're somewhere else, you got to check out the Houstonian. Everybody's heard about the Houstonian, one of the most luxurious and beautiful hotels in the city of Houston. But, boy, they can take you away and they can take take care of you in every step of the way. I mean, all you've got to do is check it out. It's right conveniently located in the Galleria area, but once you step foot on the grounds, it's like you're somewhere else in a tropical destination. They have three different swimming pools, all temperature controlled, a separate children's pool, a lap pool, a garden pool. They've got trails. I don't think people realize this. Jogging trails, nature hikes, tennis courts. They have 27 wooded acres, people. You can get out and get away and never imagine you're still in Houston. It's a fantastic deal. And right now in September and October, they have complimentary nature hikes for families every Saturday and Sunday. They have Scout Kelly. She's a certified trail leader with the Boy Scouts. She's going to take you on trail walks, animals to see animals, birds, plants, and learn more as a family. Just another great way they take care of you. And I'm telling you, those suites and those rooms, they're luxurious. They're comfortable. The spa's fantastic. And you never leave Houston. You got to check them out. It's a fantastic deal, and it's the only place to go if you're looking for a staycation or otherwise. Check them out. It's the Houstonian. You can go to Houstonian.com and just let the video roll. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. There's just so many things to do at a remarkable Houston destination. Houstonian.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Ben, first and 10, shotgun snap. He's back, throws a long down the sideline, and the pass is caught against Antonio Brown, stepping into the end zone for the Pittsburgh Steelers touchdown. He just blew by the corner, and Jackson did not have a chance.
You know, so from our perspective, it's time for him to be all in. We're all out.
Well, I think there's been a lot of speculation. The reality is that we're still talking through many scenarios. There has yet to be a suspension. Nothing is final yet. I've been in touch with Coach Gruden, Mike Mayock. We're doing our best to work this out, trying to keep this relationship moving in a good direction again. It's ongoing.
So there you go. Going back on that, the first thing you heard was a WDVE call of the Steelers radio network last year for Antonio Brown. Then you heard from GM Mike Mayock, and then you finally heard from Antonio Brown's agent, which is Drew Rosenhaus. The whole thing has been an unadulterated mess. It's been a mess from the time he did the whole cryogenics thing with his feet, and then you go from there to the helmet, and then you go to go get stirring the Steeler thing back up and telling Ben Roethlisberger to shut up. And then you go back with the helmet, and then you get into this, and you're just like, when's it going to end? And why? At some point, it's more than just a common or average receiver in the NFL looking for attention, starved to continue to keep the spotlight on him. It just seems like there's something more than that going on because it's excessive.
It does, and it's just, I don't know. I feel like this is pretty cut and dry to me. This is him just placating the whole situation and the Raiders so that he gets his guaranteed money. And then after that, it's
I agree with you. But here's the thing. Just like I said, what Gruden should have done to have Mike Mayock's back, the other thing as an organization, because everything, the jury's still out with Gruden and a 10-year, $100 million deal, with hiring a TV guy to be the GM and Mayock. But if you really wanted to make a statement, you either just cut him right there. And say, you know what?
Yeah.
Done. You know what? Our organization's not dealing with this crap.
Yeah, it's tricky, though, because you remember, you did give up
A third and a fifth. Okay.
So you have to be careful of that. And that's, if you gave up a third and a fifth for a talent like Antonio Brown, you kind of stole him.
Not to mention, John Gruden is the one who brought him here and wanted him here.
Yeah. So, but at the same time, I think you do have to prove a point, and you do have to say, look, we're not going to deal with this. We're trying to get this organization right, and this isn't helping.
You have to send a message. And here's the other thing, guys. I get the third and the fifth. But if you're the owner of the team, Barry or Nick, or both, you guys own the team. I understand you put a value on a third and a fifth. But if you save $31 million and You save the headache of having more opportunities to have more things pop up with this guy, and you send a message, maybe worth it to me.
Listen, I'm with you. I would have done it. I absolutely would have just let Antonio Brown walk. I would have said, you know what? Hit the bricks. We're done. I'm not doing this with you. It's been an issue all offseason. You have created more turmoil than was absolutely required. This is not worth a headache. You were a headache in Pittsburgh. You're a headache now. You've been a headache all offseason. I'm not doing this. We're an organization that's trying to get right, and you ain't helping.
And perhaps that was a consideration. You never know. Maybe the owner did consider getting rid of him, but you have to also remember that he gave him that $100 million contract to a TV guy, and I would imagine that with that contract, to a certain extent, he's kind of given Gruden the reins to kind of do whatever he wants to do to kind of make this team a better team and a more relevant team like in years past. So
I mean, at least that TV guy's been to a Super Bowl and he has a coaching background. Mike Mayock comes straight from TV. He's their version of Lance Zierlein, and he got the GM job. And I think at some point, that's why I think you got to have his back. But when you look at this, and I think Hard Knocks played into this too, because Hard Knocks was even more exposure. I think the Raiders might have handled some of this stuff differently if they didn't have cameras following them around every bit of the day. And now that they don't, you know, it maybe makes it a little different. But here's the other thing, Barry, to the point what you were just saying too. I not only would let him walk, but I'd remind him on the way out the door, you're not getting $31 million from any other team in this league right now. Because everybody knows that you are going to be on a prove-it contract, and you are going to have to prove yourself to not only, regardless, we know what you can do on the field.
Yep.
But off the field, and stability between your ears is something that teams don't take lightly because of the fact that we told everybody it's a business first.
Yep.
And if this guy's taking money out of your pockets because he's turning people off and pissing people off, I don't think he'd have gotten 31, and it would have sent a real clear message.
Well, like I said, mark my words, this isn't the last we'll hear from Antonio Brown. Issues and problems are going to pop up now that once he plays, he'll get his guaranteed money. He's going to go back to being this whole crying thing, I'm sorry. That is an act. That's a ploy. I'm not buying it for 1 second. And shame on the Raiders for buying it.
I'm with you. All right, with that being said, Knuckles wants to get in here on Antonio Brown since it's the top topic right now. Knuckles, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? All they have to do is suspend him one game. Then the power is back on the team. He won't be guaranteed all that money. It'll be more like game to game. The way his contract is written, according to what I was hearing from Stephen A. Smith. But yeah, all they have to do is suspend him one game, and then all that money won't be guaranteed if he gets suspended again.
Thank
you, gentlemen. Love the show.
Appreciate it, Knuckles. That's kind of the point I was making, is that if they had an opportunity to prove a point, this was it. And he knew that. That's why he's in there crying. Because he knew he probably just pissed away $30 million for acting the way he's been acting. That's the tears. The tears, he's not sorry. This is like, you know, when you, it's like, you know how you're messing with your little brother and or your cousin or whatever, and you make him cry? And then you're like, oh, whoa, don't cry, don't cry. No, I'm sorry. Don't cry. Because you don't want to get in trouble? Mm-hmm. That's what this was. No, I'm sorry. Don't take away my $30 million. I'm so sorry. We good? Okay, cool. I got my $30 million. Now I'm going to go act the ass again when it's appropriate.
And here's the other thing. He knows that he can get away with it. You know why? Because he got suspended yesterday, but they didn't keep him suspended long enough to miss that first game because he knows they need him. Now he feels like he's got the power because, you know what? No matter what I do that pisses them off, I can threaten to punch the GM in the face. I can tempt him to fine me for punting the ball in frustration against him. But guess what? At the end of the day, if I do it on a Friday and there's a game on a Monday, I'm still going to be playing.
Yep.
And that is a bad, bad look. So that's the latest.
One other NFL note. Chiefs signed Hill to a 3-year, $54 million extension.
Tyreek Hill,
yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, there's another guy that probably should have been on a prove-it deal just for the overall. Not on the field, but off the field.
$35 million guaranteed for him as well.
Man. So there's some NFL news and notes for you. There was a game last night. We can get into that a little bit.
Really?
There was also a baseball game going on at the same time.
Are you
going
to use air quotes? Because I know you wanted to pump up the Thursday night matchups, but that was an awful game.
I didn't want to pump up anything.
I mean, we were having that discussion yesterday.
I mentioned saying that football was back.
No, but we went through the schedule, and you were like, all these games are better, remember? And I gave you some that weren't, and we were trying to decide that the matchups were better. And going in, I thought this was going to be a really good game. That was an awful game to watch. It was boring. And now, as a Packers fan, you got to be thrilled.
Yeah, I had a lot of people taking shots at me all night long, and the most enjoyable thing was to just say, yeah, as a football fan, I get it. As a Packer fan, you say, hey, divisional rival.
Know, baby.
Divisional rival. Super. Everybody billed them as one of the Super Bowl contenders while they were saying you were middle of the road. You go on the road week one, and you get that win, I'll take it anyway.
Absolutely.
That W doesn't change whether it's capitalized or lowercase.
Bro, if the Packers would have won 2-0 on a safety.
I said that to somebody.
Oh, did you?
Yep.
I would have been thrilled.
Yep.
So damn them, but I'm just telling you, as a non-Packer fan, that was pretty bad football. But I think we're going to see that all week.
And Taylor got some unbelievable education in the NFL. We'll get to that as well.
Nice. Yeah.
All right, we'll roll through hour number one as we got the 3-hour show. Stay with us and have some fun as you get ready for your weekend. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97. Bye.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Barry, Nick, and Joel on an F Yeah Friday. Ed Blake, Comedian of the Week, had a clip at 1:15, going to have two more, 2:15, 3:15. Missed any of it? Go to ESPN975.com, click on The Usual Suspects tab at the top of the page. Catch up on what you missed when you get a chance. Look cackle happy. If you want to sit over there and chuckle, I hate to interrupt your discussion.
I didn't make a noise. You couldn't hear anything.
Oh, I saw your face.
No, and this is radio. No one else saw
it. Twitch this. People saw it on the video
Nobody
stream.
Saw that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So, we were talking a little bit about Antonio Brown, probably way more than we should have. But, of course, it was breaking news. So, we got it all out there. And we talked about that. There was also a football game last night.
Because I told him, he was like, man, I would love to see what this GM
is saying. Mike Tannenbaum, the ex-GM of the Jets, who now works for ESPN, was on. And I said, I'd love to hear from a GM's perspective because I think Mayock got crapped on from both sides.
And I was like, yeah, I don't really
Should
care.
I text them? I think I have.
No. I just said I didn't care. I feel like we've already talked about this more than we needed to.
That's a big story. It's a big story.
And he was like,
and I said, thanks, AJ. Let's move on. So,
and then I said, how dare you? In the 3 years of all the mean things you've said to me, this is the worst thing. You take that back right now.
So, anyway, there was a football game last night.
Well,
we don't need to get too much into the emotions of it. It wasn't a great football game. I will agree with you. There was a lot of ugly football. And I'll tell you this. Before the game started, there's a lot of text messages going along with me, going back and forth between me and my buddies. And I just said, look, I had real concerns from a Packers perspective. New coach, new offense. Rodgers didn't play one single down of the preseason. And I think the timing aspect of actual gameplay is so much different than joint practices and practices and all that stuff that I had some real concerns. I didn't have concerns about the Bears because a year ago, Nagy and his offensive play calling and Trubisky and everything the Bears were able to do, I was like, I'm worried the Bears are going to get out to an early lead because of the fact that they've got all the continuity. They almost look worse than Green Bay.
Oh, they both look bad, but I think a lot of it, you know, you can attribute to just not playing in the preseason. And isn't it funny how the narrative changes? Because for the first 4 weeks of preseason, everyone's going, we don't need this, we don't need this, we don't need this. And then you watch the opening game, week one of the NFL, and everybody's going, well, that was awful. They should have played in preseason. It's like, well, you're going to have to pick one.
I was talking to Lance in the hallway, and we were going over everything with the game, and he agreed with me. We both said the same thing. They need two preseason games, but they need two legit preseason games
where people
are going to play because you got to get the rust off. Otherwise, it's embarrassing on national TV to have that brand of football represent the first game of the year.
And everyone's pinning it on how bad Trubisky looked and how bad Aaron Rodgers looked. These teams combined to rush for, what, 90-something yards? Combined!
Mm-hmm.
Packers rushed for 47. The Bears rushed for 46. The largest, the biggest yards per average carry was 3.8. That ain't even good.
Mm-mm. But I'll say this. From my perspective, looking at it, pro Green Bay, that's up 180 from last year's defense. I knew what the Bears' defense was. I didn't expect to be able to take a undersized running back like Aaron Jones and just gash the defense of the Bears. Bears' defense is all world. But when I looked at Green Bay's defense a year ago, I go, oh, Lord, they got problems. Because now they've got three running backs from Chicago that can run. Trubisky's got good receivers. He's another year in the system. They're going to slice them and dice them if that defense doesn't get better. I didn't expect to see that. I don't care how bad Trubisky and Nagy were. That's a Green Bay defense I haven't seen in years.
Oh, I totally agree. And that's the funny thing about preseason is it's really a lot more beneficial to offenses than it is defenses. Now, granted, there's some communication that takes place in the secondary with safeties and corners and who's going to pick up what on what routes and who's going to cover, especially in zones and whatnot. But this is, I mean, combined, there was, 11 sacks in this game? Mm-hmm. 10 sacks? Mm-hmm. That's getting after it.
Yeah.
When you talk about less than 100 yards combined rushing, when you talk about around 400, less than 450 yards combined passing, this was a defensive game by, like you said, I expected the Bears to put up numbers like this defensively, but I didn't expect the Packers to do that. We'll see how much of that was a bad Chicago offense. And lack of preseason snaps versus, is this a legitimate Green Bay Packers defense? Because they looked good.
Because Green Bay hated.
They got after Trubisky, man.
Well, I was going to say, and when you think about this, of all those sacks you mentioned, Khalil Mack didn't have one.
Yeah.
After what he did a year ago when he wreaked havoc on everything Green Bay had to offer. But then Green Bay went out and paid a whole lot of money for two pass rushers in Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith. They had one between the two of them. But everybody else was all over it. That tells you that there were bodies flying all over the field and their defense was stepping up. So, encouraging. A lot of people were throwing a lot of heat at me pregame, during, after the first quarter. And I just, at the end of the game, was like, look, anytime, and the Texans know this because of how close this division is now that Andrew Luck is no longer there. Divisional games mean about a game and a half.
Oh, yeah.
But then when you talk about a really bunched up, tight division, a divisional rival on the road, first game, you know, it has so much more meaning. It, like you said, it could have been 2-0. It was, you know, a touchdown game. For most, and you just say, you know what, you just take it and you move on, but you're happy you got it.
Yeah. 11 QB hits by that Green Bay defense. They got half. They did. 11 QB hits, 5 sacks. They had some pass deflections in the secondary. That defense looked really good.
They got a stud young corner in Zaire Alexander.
Yeah.
They drafted a kid, Savage, a safety out of Maryland. He's starting from day one and just lowering the boom on people. And they finally have a pass rush. But look, on the flip side, Bears are fine. They're going to be fine. Because that Trubisky, defense, like you said, they are going to wreak havoc on the whole league.
And Trubisky was inaccurate, I felt like. I mean, he had a couple of decent throws, but I felt like for the most part he was inaccurate. But also, when you talk about 11 QB hits, he didn't have a lot of time back there.
Right.
I mean, he was that pocket didn't hold up like you would expect it to. So, the other thing, too, just observing the game, the Packers punter, he looks like he's 15 years old.
But he's good.
J.K. Scott, I was like, bro. Yeah, he had a 63-yarder. I was like, damn.
He had a couple of punts that I'm just like, oh, I don't care what you look like if you kick the ball like that. That dude
looks 15 years old.
But you, and the other reason why.
Guys, don't hit me. My balls haven't dropped yet.
And then every time he had a good punt, he had that smirk on his face like, somebody give me a high five. Somebody give me a high five. I did my job.
I did it, guys. High five, but not too hard. It hurt my hand.
The interesting thing, too, aside from hearing Al Michaels bitch about how uncomfortable his 1920s outfit was all game and wanting to get out of it.
Why did they wear those?
Because it's the 100th anniversary of the NFL and the longest rivalry in football, Packers-Bears, dating back to 1920. So they wanted Michelle and Collinsworth and Al to all be dressed up in the old Roaring 20s outfits.
Oh, my God. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah, and Al thought so, too.
Al was like, well, I actually have some stuff from when I was alive in the 20s.
Right.
So he just went to his closet and got one of his old vests out.
And the other thing you noticed, though, with all of that was NBC's technology with their boom mics and everything on the sideline picks up a lot. Sometimes this one might have been like them getting the rust off and realizing they may pick up too much because the play of the night might be a punt in this game, not for what happened on the field, but what was said on the sidelines and picked up by one NBC mic sounding like this.
I never have my gun figured.
36 yard line. Patterson tried to upset Davis.
Now, if you missed that, even Al seemed to chuckle a little bit, but the microphone said, I've never had my butt fingered.
I've never had my butt fingered. Wow.
36.
And then the laugh. You thought it was Rogers at first, but
I
after
thought
the
it was Rogers until I heard the laugh.
I don't know. There's 52 other people it could have been. It was definitely somebody from Green Bay, right?
I don't know which sideline it was.
Yeah, I feel like that's definitely a Wisconsin
thing. No, the easy
thing.
Joke is that because it's the Packers that it definitely was something like that.
Yeah.
But based on where the Bears took it last night, you never know.
I like how Deadspin kind of slowed it down.
Oh, really?
Or did they?
You really can't hear. I think they might be reaching on what it is. You can definitely hear. I've never had my fingered.
I've never had my fingered.
I've never had my fingered. Yeah, you really can't tell. I think they're. I don't know. That could be anything.
Nut.
Belly button?
Sometimes you feel like a nut, Barry. Sometimes you don't. I don't know. All I know is that might have been the highlight of the night because of the fact that it wasn't very fun to watch unless you're a Packer fan. And we move on. But at least game one's in the books. And I think fair warning on the Barry Laminack train. What?
Was it fun to watch as a Packer fan?
It was nerve-wrackingly fun, yes.
Okay.
Because you beat the Bears and because of all the crap that I was taking and because they're a Super Bowl contender in a lot of people's minds. That's all I read about. All I heard about, I heard the Packers are middle of the road. You keep telling me they're not a playoff team. And
I don't think they're
going
to
get that win on the road in the division, that's the first step, and that's a good step.
We got a very important text I need to read. It says, do you ever stop with the dumbass jokes, Barry?
Why was that an important text, sir?
Yeah.
This is very important to this person, obviously. No, I don't stop with the dumbass jokes. It's kind of my thing. So, you know, you can always just push another button and go listen somewhere else.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Yeah. But no, I don't ever stop with the dumbass jokes.
You should make a career of it. Do it way too much.
Do I?
Yeah.
That's
I just passed that one on to you because I just don't agree with how people treat us sometimes.
So tell Aggie Joe don't go anywhere. We'll talk to him after the show. But right now I want to tell the people about besthotelrates.com. If you're planning on a vacation, if you haven't vacationed already, or hey, maybe you travel for business a lot, you should check out besthotelrates.com. You're already staying at the hotels that you can find on besthotelrates.com. They have over 600,000 hotels that they have created special rates and negotiated special rates for, and then they extend those discounts to you. So just log on. Just go to besthotelrates.com, punch in the destination, where you're going, the travel dates, and check out what they're offering because it's probably going to get you a discounted rate at hotels, like I said, that you're already staying at. So why not take advantage of that savings and book your hotels through besthotelrates.com? You save money. Yeah, their customer service is outstanding, so it backs up your reservation. Your stay is safe. Your stay is secure. All you got to do is worry about either going on there in business and doing a good job or going with the family and having some fun. It's besthotelrates.com. Start planning your next trip today. It's in the name, besthotelrates.com.
ESPN 97.5.